This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's Wednesday, the 24th of July, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. I just want to send a special shout out to Abaco. Girl, you know I love you long time, and now you're here. You're back. Abaco is back, people. I know once the mangoes are on the ground, we know that Abaco is on the road to recovery post-Dorian. We use nature and the trees as a barometer, pun intended, for health, island health. I just want to say to Abaco, girl, we love you long time, and we glad you back. Say thank you to all of the Abaco residents that letting the mangoes come from Abaco to New Providence. We say thank you, and just know I sent a small bundle of Ganep up to Abaco. I don't know if y'all have Ganep in Abaco in the north, the way we have Ganep in New Providence and heading further south in the archipelago. It is Wednesday, the 24th of July. Wednesday means it's a man down mashup session where Mr. Newry from Guardian Radio AM jumps in the host seat with me and we discuss what is in the news. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning this morning. How are you doing, Erin?
I getting ready. HHT family reunion. It coming up.
It's coming up.
August 1st. Emancipation.
Oh, it's on Emancipation.
Well, it starts on the 1st, ends
really
on the 5th.
Emancipation holiday, but the Emancipation day.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, right, so we...
Which day is Emancipation?
We celebrate on the first Monday.
It's a Monday. No, we're talking about the actual date. August 1st is which day?
August 1st is a Thursday. Yeah, yeah. So we start on the day, Emancipation Day. You know, one of the questions I'd love to ask... So I hope to generate conversation around is what is more important in the Bahamian experience, right? Like in our time arc, what is more important? Is it independence, the receiving of independence, or is it emancipation? Which one is more important in the collective psyche of the Bahamas, and which one has produced greater momentum? I think it's an important question. And not necessarily on the table for today, right? But We often forget emancipation. And I think we don't realize you can't have independence without emancipation, eh? Mm-hmm. And then we throw in the question, have we been made independent but not truly emancipated? And can somebody give you freedom? Can somebody give you independence, right?
You want us to have that discussion one day?
One day. Not necessarily today.
Stemming from the question, are we truly emancipated or are we truly independent?
Well, both. Right? It's both. Can you be independent without being truly emancipated? But deeper than that, can someone emancipate you? Mm-hmm. Can somebody give you freedom? Or do you have to determine it for yourself, right, individually and collectively? As we start the walk on the road to 52, somebody give me that phrase. online. When I say give me, they said it, and then I told them my teeth in it.
What, the Road to 52?
Road to 52. But I have a different use for it. Hmm. Road to 52, a road traffic policing strategy. I just want to give them an idea. That maybe if we had a road traffic policing strategy, then we would see effective road traffic policing. But that's on the side. There's lots to talk about this morning from today's papers and throughout this week and last week. Here's some headlines. Maybe you'd be interested. Land reform proposals go out to consultation. Controversy over Athol Island permits tabling. That is in yesterday's Tribune. And in today's Tribune, we have BNT protect and preserve the value of Athol Island. We have in today's Guardian, again, BNT, Athol Island should be protected. Story in today's Guardian, top of the fold, PMH morgue staff sit out. Bodies pile up after diesel spill. But I think, Mr. Newry, let me see what other stories we have here. I even have 5.5 cruise visitors this year to sort of couple with this continuation story on the water park proposed by the Nassau Cruise Port. And then I found a compendium of stories on the tabling of a compendium of legislation around intellectual property. IP legislation will attract fintech firms, says Cooper. Burnside, that's Pamela Burnside, owner of Dungalik Studios Art Gallery. Burnside, Bahamas still a pirate's republic on intellectual property. Bahama Handprints welcomes IP bills, firm impacted by piracy. And artists, IP bills will help, but they must be timely. So it's a compendium of articles on the compendium of bills, intellectual property legislation that has been recently tabled. But I think I want to start with this story in today's Tribune, Mr. Newry.
Go ahead.
Oh, and let's not forget, Biden versus Harris.
Okay.
Yes, Biden versus Harris on the table. Here's a headline. Cooper can't gazette. Law says he can. That's in today's Tribune. Public Disclosure Commission Chairman Bishop Victor Cooper wrongly claimed the commission cannot gazette information about the financial declarations parliamentarians must make. In its latest investment climate report on the Bahamas, the United States noted that the Public Disclosure Commission has failed for the past 13 years to meet its legal obligation to gazette reports concerning legislators' declaration of assets, income, and liabilities. The U.S. noted that the most recently gazetted report was from December, we're going to go to page 4, 2011.
Let's say that date again.
The U.S. noted that the most recently gazetted report was from December 2011. And, quote, it contained information on disclosures only up to 2008, close quotes. Bishop Cooper said he did not read the U.S. report, adding, quote, we complete our reports. We aren't empowered to put them in a gazette. That is something the prime minister, you know, the opposition, they are responsible for that, close quotes. Quote, whatever we do, we got to go through the office of the prime minister, and once that is approved, we will go forward, close quotes. I want to stick a pin there.
Yes, we need to stick a pin there.
Let's.
We need to interrogate whether he understands his job.
Now, right, I didn't know this story was going to be in the paper today, or I would have pulled my compendium of articles that we've been collecting over the last 2 years minimum on the subject matter. But I think the good Bishop Cooper, he misspoke.
You think he misspoke?
Yeah, I think, in many instances, he doesn't understand the structural relationship.
He doesn't understand his job.
He doesn't understand the structure around which his job is formed. I don't want to say he doesn't understand his job, because that would be a horrible thing to say.
Okay.
Because he's getting paid.
Of course he's getting paid.
A lot of money.
Yes, of course he's getting paid a lot of money.
Considering no reports have been gazetted in a long time.
He doesn't understand
but
his
this
job.
But this is what I mean.
Go ahead.
when he says we got to go through the office of the prime minister, that's not quite what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The prime minister sits on the public disclosure committee.
Mm-hmm.
He is a part of the committee.
We don't understand first amongst equals either. We have the prime minister as the almighty.
Mm-hmm.
That he is above all members of parliament, above all ministers. He does not have one vote. He has five votes.
And let me just say to you, sir, that you have reiterated this point a lot. Last week's papers carried a story on protests emanating from BTVI.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful picture of people standing up for their rights. Wonderful placards. But the placards essentially say the prime minister says yes, the president says no, the president has to go.
Mm.
It didn't say the minister of education.
Mm-hmm.
Like the minister responded. It didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
It said the prime. He said going straight to the prime minister.
Going straight to the prime minister's entertaining him.
But I have this thing that I have to figure out how to frame it properly, right? But I want to say to all laborers involved in protests right now, when were y'all going to tell us what was inside the MOU that the Trade Congress has signed with the PLP while they were in opposition?
Mm.
When it is that you are attempting to garner the public support for your labor protests, ask the question, when were you going to tell us, the Bahamian people, what was in the memorandum of understanding signed between the labor unions and the PLP while they were in opposition? And why didn't you tell us from the very break that contained within the MOU was a commitment to quell all industrial unrest, or at least to try to quell all industrial unrest for the duration of the term, as implied by Obi Ferguson in his presentation at the Labor Day Parade 2024. Let's go to the phone line, and then we get back to the Public Disclosure Commission. Good morning, caller.
Pleasant. Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
Good, thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And to CA, pleasant good morning.
Blessings to you.
Aaron, you said something interesting at the beginning of the show, and I know it sounds like you guys don't want to necessarily delve in that direction about emancipated and independent.
Yes.
Have either of you extensively looked at the Constitution?
I have in parts for advocacy projects, yes.
Okay. Does anything... Just there's a portion of the Constitution, I'm sure if I go ahead and open it and find that I'm driving at the moment, but the role of our Governor General suggests that we may not be either.
Mm-hmm. True.
Because if the Governor General does not sign bills, then they don't become law, even with the appointments that our elected leaders make, Prime Minister, Leader of the Opposition. If that's not signed off by the Governor General, those aren't legally, constitutionally recognized posts. And maybe that's something we should really talk about.
Absolutely.
Let's say we change into a republic and have a president, right? And the president replaces the Governor General. Guess what doesn't become law unless the president signs it?
Everything.
Same thing.
See, now, here's my thing with this function of the Governor General, right? Is it intended to be a protection for citizens? Is that its intent? For instance, as a gay person, I'd be very concerned if a hyper-fundamentalist majority took the government, and then all of a sudden we are creating laws about incarcerating gay people for aggravated homosexuality, right? I guess that's when you're a man and your pants too tight. I don't know. What is aggravated? I don't know. But the point is there are jurisdictions around the world that are criminalizing people and with offenses like aggravated homosexuality. They are suggesting that people who are homosexuals or who are engaged in same-sex intimacy should be executed, right? What if this function is protectionary for the citizens in case something drastic is about to occur? Is it possible? Is it possible that it could be the intent, but it doesn't operate in that manner? But yeah, these are the conversations that we should be having. And I think that these conversations should be companion conversations. They need to take place on the side of these other conversations like public disclosures. Okay. Like, are we truly independent if our elected officials do not feel the need to follow, like, the Constitution? Are the citizens independent, right? Are the citizens protected if successive governments have determined that they're going to flout, ignore the Constitution?
I know we got to finish the article, but I want you to give me a yes or no answer so we can go straight back to the article, because I want to hear what the United States said. I didn't get to see, read the article yet. Is this government accountable? And that's a yes or no answer. Because and clearly, to me, they can't be accountable. This is a star in the eye, because accountability means that they would have declared by now.
Right.
The idea that they deny or refuse or just ignore the declaration means that they are not accountable to the people. So when they come back to us for a general election, this is something that needs to be brought up. You have proven yourself not accountable to the Bahamian people.
And drives me to, I know you say yes or no, but you see what I'm wearing today. Yeah. I in full woman mode and don't care about your logic. What if it is that they don't understand how authority operates? It's become apparent to me that across sectors, whether it's in governance, whether it's in family life, whether it's in the church, right, whether it's in business, people just assume that if I am the authority, it means I could do whatever I want. If I am the authority, then these rules, these laws are just guidelines, right? Like I'm only to be guided by them if I see fit. And we don't understand that authority is vested in you by an instrument. And it is that instrument that has the authority. So when you become an authority, when you appointed an authority, you don't get to just rule with an iron fist. Your job is to ensure that the rules as they are written and interpreted formally are applied. Not that you get to interpret the rules how you want them to be. Case in point, we have the tabling of a report on the Caribbean Bahama Games for 50th anniversary by the Auditor General's office. We have public discourse that is unacceptable by state actors involved. And then we see the tabling of an unedited report on the same matter.
Yep.
And I wonder, does the minister understand what his authority enables him to do? It is the provisions that you are required to fulfill, not that you get to decide which provisions you fulfill. Mm-hmm. Anyway, stick a pin, go to the phone line, and then back to the article.
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Good morning, caller.
Both of you this morning. Good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
Listen, they don't have to be accountable. The reason being, a lady told me, and she told me point blank, if the prime minister tell me eat that cockroach, I will eat it. And you'd be surprised to know how many of them sitting in there feel obligated and that low of themselves. So they don't have to be accountable. All right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
See, I want you to read, but I'm concerned about that obligated word and whether state actors can be obligated to the prime minister. Because remember, the prime minister basically appointed the commissioner of police. The prime minister basically appointed the commodore. The prime minister appointed the attorney general. The prime minister appointed the chief justice. So I'm now concerned
about the interpretation of this word obligated.
Obligated.
Because you cannot be obligated to the man or the woman who holds the office. You are obligated to the provisions that create the office, that enable the office, that quote-unquote authorize the office. It's the office and not the individual. And the office is nothing but the legislation that creates it. You can't be obligated to a prime minister. You must be obligated to the rules, the laws, the protocols that the prime minister operates within.
See, I'm concerned with the word obligated. Let's go to the article, Aaron.
Absolutely. We continue. In fact, Section 6.2C of the Public Disclosure Act says that after the commission has examined parliamentarians' declarations, quote, it shall publish a summary of that declaration in the Gazette in the form prescribed by Form B in the second schedule.
Clearly, he read that. You think he read that?
The Cooper?
Cooper.
No.
He didn't read that.
I'm just saying, I don't... He may have read it.
But didn't understand it?
But he didn't read it like how we are forced to read it in fourth grade and fifth grade and sixth grade and seventh grade. Yeah. And then we're tested to ensure that we comprehend what it is we're reading.
So can I say that he doesn't comprehend his job? Let's read that same section again, but what he did not comprehend. So when he hears
now,
it again...
Now pause. Go ahead. I want to say, stick a pin there. I'm not sure if your assessment is fair yet. Hold on.
But let's read that, reread that.
Right. In fact, Section 6.2 of the Public Disclosure Act says that after the commission has examined parliamentarians' declarations, quote, it shall publish a summary of that declaration in the Gazette in the form prescribed by Form B in the second schedule. Mm-hmm. So, right, the form prescribed by Form B in the second schedule. Is that simply... This is the way the form is constructed? Like, you print this form, and this is the way that you send the information in? Or does Form B in the second schedule say, the chairman of the commission, who is the prime minister, or whoever else, right? They have to sign off for this. So we just got to, like I said, I apologize to the audience for not having those notes on hand, but
we ain't gonna never get this, though.
That form, but I tell you what, here's what I know. What I know is if the budget for 2024-2025 budget, if the budget didn't have provisions for 2024 computers and some phones that are not rotary phones, if because what was released in a 2015, I think it's a IADB or it may be OAS report, was that the office is severely limited or hampered by the lack of technology available to the staff. Remember, they'd say they had like two word processing machine, one mm-hmm. fax machine, and a rotary phone. I may have made up the rotary phone part, mm-hmm. right? But this is what the 2015 report said. I like to call it plausible deniability. That's not quite the use, but how could you expect us to produce a report in a timely fashion if we only have two word processor, a fax machine, and a rotary phone? Right?
One good secretary. You finish reading or you
go? No, it's more. That form requests information about a declarant spouse. So in the form prescribed by Form B in the second schedule, that form requests information about a declarant spouse, children, particulars of bonds, stocks, shares, and similar investments that officials may hold and their annual income. The law does not empower the commission to disclose who has failed to declare. The commission can report this to the prime minister and the leader of the opposition, either of whom can have the information disclosed in the House of Assembly or the Senate, or be sent to the Attorney General or Commissioner of Police for further action. Parliamentarians and senior public officials must submit their financial declarations to the commission by March 1st. Keshla Adley, the press secretary in the office of the prime minister, said earlier this year that the commission extended the deadline to March 31st. In April, Bishop Cooper said 90% of parliamentarians had filed by March 1st. He said many senators and senior civil servants failed to declare last year. The penalty for not disclosing is a $10,000 fine and or up to 2 years in prison. Bishop Cooper said he, quote, feverishly, close quotes, hopes to see changes in the commission's operations. I had dengue fever again last weekend. Mm-hmm. Just made me think of what feverishly could mean. Quote, what is happening now? We have made a report. We've made some requests to work on the commission as it is. And so we have to wait again for the approval. And it's a parliamentary thing. You know, they have the right to draft the paper. Now, they have an obligation to draft the paper. This is another thing we have to talk about, the difference between a right and an obligation. And that has to go through Parliament for their approval, and then some things will happen, he said.
So he is waiting for Parliament to tell him that he could work on his report.
About them.
About them.
Right.
So at this present time, he hasn't done anything. And we are paying him for...
Going to the meeting and realizing that other people have internet.
Interesting. This is as good as it
gets. I could see why he was shocked to be in Grenada and find out they had internet come into their office before he had internet come into his office.
Man, his phone have internet. Let's go to the caller, Aaron.
Good morning, caller.
Go ahead, caller. Caller going once, caller going twice. Okay, let's continue.
Our apologies.
But you know how it is that the United States have to remind us that we have yet to declare?
I want you to think about something else. I would have expected that to come out in the Human Rights Report. But it came out in the Economic Report. And I wonder if the U.S. thinks that maybe if they gave it a greater priority by connecting to economic health, that the government would focus on it, because obviously focusing on the rights of citizens and the obligations of governments is not a priority.
But clearly, this is 2008 was the last time we...
So 2011 was the last time that reports were gazetted, and those reports that were gazetted in 2011 only covered up to 2008.
So administrations after administrations have yet to declare.
Properly. Or no, to ensure, be clear, to ensure that their declarations have been disclosed according to the Public Disclosure Act and the Constitution. This is particularly troubling for lots of citizens. Remember when the director or assistant director, representative from the Department of Inland Revenue made that big announcement about the veracity? I don't know, that's not even, maybe even to be a word. The intention, the seriousness of the government in terms of collecting income tax, property tax, it felt strong-armish, like you're trying to strong-arm me and throw your weight as a government on me, the citizen, to pay my taxes. And a lot of people were rightly upset because you're not ensuring that the public knows that state actors are paying their taxes. See, when these things are gazetted, then the public has the opportunity to interrogate whether what has been gazetted is truthful or not. But if it has not been gazetted, then the public does not have an opportunity to determine whether it is truthful, whether it is an accurate reflection of your finances. So we won't know if state actors are paying the proper taxes that they're obligated to pay as citizens, because we don't know what their assets, their income assets and liabilities are. And that's why people are upset. Not because we don't think that we should have to pay taxes. What we're saying is, why are you strong-arming us and forcing us to pay taxes in an environment where politicians are not seemingly required to follow the same rules? I want to say seemingly with all capital letters, and even call it a S-E-A-M, like a dress seam. Just like seemingly have no answers. You looking at the text line?
I look at the text line, but go ahead. What the next topic is?
Land reform proposals go out to consultation.
What does it mean by that?
Attorney, is a call coming in. Attorney General Ryan Pinder said the land adjudication bill and land registration bill should be tabled in Parliament this fall, with the new land registry to be established in 2025. Mr. Pinder said the, quote, long anticipated, close quotes, land reforms are currently under consultation, and a website has been launched to garner feedback. Let me give you all the title of that website right now. It is bahamaslandreform.gov.bs. That's bahamaslandreform.gov.bs. The Attorney General said the legislation will establish the framework for registered land and create a land registry run by a standalone land registrar.
I would like to know, how will they register these lands? Like, and I think it's speaking from a family island point of view, who live on generation land.
Generational property, right?
My family, which is it'd be a small Bahamian family, but be big in general, have a couple good acres, right? Long Island, which I visited, four sets of families share the same 60, 70 acres, right? Who registers that? How do you register?
How would generational property be registered? And will we see changes in legislation around the protection of generational property.
Yeah.
Particularly with the implementation of the National Investment Fund. Let's go to the phone line, and then we go back to the story. Yeah. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron and CA.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Aaron, this place is not a real place, you know. Because a couple of months ago, they hosted a big conference in Bahama with Public Service Integrity Commission. We don't have one here. Jamaica has one. They made the Speaker of the House resign about 6 months ago because her declaration wasn't right. She didn't clear a cause or some other thing she didn't do. And she resigned. And they put her before the courts. She's a big-time lawyer, too. But we wasting time here. That's the office you get free money from. They have no teach. They have no agents. It's like the DPP office. Don't have no agents that can lock you up. They have to go to the police and lock you up. Who to put handcuffs on the police if they have to? You see, the DPP office, like every agency office in the state, have their own agents carry guns and can lock you up, too. We playing the game here. Let's get rich. Come in poor and get rich. Nobody, in fact, on the declaration, even the judges are supposed to declare to all PSs, and the judges are supposed to declare the money too.
Up to 5 years after you've left service.
But we don't declare. Like people go and public service, come out rich. How you get rich off a public service salary? I'm a millionaire. How? Because they don't declare. That's a government. And one chairman of the committee had government contracts. How are you supposed to put the party in check, and he got government contracts? You know, party put you in check quick. We wasting time. We playing games. This is the most corrupt place here. Because you just get rich.
One thing I know, Bahamians don't like to follow rules, buddy.
No. We say we are steeped in corruption. Straight up.
Thank you, caller.
The boy, he can't go to jail. All right.
Thank you.
The Fox is a scary place, and you cannot send honorable men into dark, scary places.
I mean, you can't send them, but you could send for them because they seem to come. Producer, you don't know the prayer say, Jesus, blind my eyes from these awesome opportunities these other people think supposed to be for them, but it ain't? You don't know that provision in the Bible, eh?
But we have had a number of politicians who... I remember we had one who used to be a manager of what a place, the Radio Shack, right? Then became like a union head, right? That's $70,000. But it's a mega multi-millionaire now. And I try and say, where you get this? I know how much you used to make. You have bills like the rest of us making $70,000.
Singers make a lot of money.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, they multi-millionaires. Of what? What type of investment you invest in? You know, just millionaire overnight. You know, I find that strange. But since he became a member of parliament, they didn't have no declaration since then. So you don't know what happened, man.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I just want to know where the office is with the applications for these jobs. Let's go back to the article. Land reform proposals go out to consultation. A reminder, the website where the public can engage and find all the background information on land reform and land registration is bahamaslandreform.gov.bs. Quote, we have a consultation website similar to what we did for IP, that's intellectual property. Similar to what we did for cannabis, we now have one for land reform. We look to pass this legislation in the fall and by the beginning of 2025. We look to have active land adjudication panels processing title to be registered on a newly established land registry. Quote, so our goal is to start that process in 2025. That's four registries with four distinct areas under their supervision, creating expertise and the efficiencies to deliver the service. Close quotes. Here's what I'd like to know. Mm-hmm. Will there be a formal space created by legislation to ensure the resolution of all land disputes leading up to the implementation of this new legislation?
Let's go to the caller. I'm thinking about what the liquor man name on Audley Kemp and all of his properties, right? Mm-hmm. Which hasn't been adjudicated, or what you call it when you probate the land, and it hasn't been probated. Who owned those properties, man?
Listen, and on that note, I got word yesterday that Todd Kemp, the fisherman, passed away.
Okay.
I have to confirm this, but it's from a source who knows him. I think Todd Kemp was one of Audley Kemp's sons.
Oh,
fisherman, condolences. Yeah. Absolutely. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
And good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning to you.
You know, Aaron, you're talking about the persons declaring. How anybody found out or heard as yet if Mr. West End and Bimini have an account, a bank account yet.
Oh, God.
You know, because I guess in order to declare, he needs to have something to be able to get bank statements to say which is which. You know, that's a serious thing. So for an MP now to, I guess, be paid in the little brown envelope at the end of the week.
No, because they could be paying him in sand dollars. Listen,
sand dollars.
They could be paying him in sand dollars.
Yes, I forget. We're trying to push the sand dollars. Yes, okay. So I guess that could be considered an account. Okay. All right, I guess that's cash and gold in. All right.
I mean, there are 7 sand dollar wallet providers in the country.
Yes.
Cash and gold is one of them.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so, because it's amazing that after all this time, you know, I mean, don't they think what do they take us for? You know, what happened? Don't we have memories?
I don't know what they take us for, but I am tempted to go to West End and I just want to run a scam. I mean, not the set that are outlawed in legislation. Not the illegal set. No, we ain't talking about that. We're talking about the legal set where I could become a candidate and submit a declaration and put no bank account
on it. Remember now, you have to close all those 2 bank accounts you have because they're not going to cut you if you have one.
I don't. I don't know how many bank accounts you have.
You could get paid via Island Luck, man. You could transfer that money.
I get paid via Sea Grape. You think my boss know me from high school.
Mm-hmm.
They pay me via Sea Grape.
They'll give you check. You should always get check.
Yeah. you could go and run. You know, I mean, as long as you run on that particular ticket, I think it doesn't matter where you are. You know, because I guess any backup goes. That's the requirement. Any
you can cause me running Montague for fun, because you know that's the safest seat in the Bahamas. You cause me running Montague for fun.
Just make sure you're wearing the right color in Montague now.
Absolutely, and remember, we are only talking about the discrepancies in the good gentleman's public declaration form for the election.
Yes, that's all we're talking about.
Yes, ma'am.
And not just him. Who else has not declared? All of them is in that same category.
Yes, ma'am. You have a good day.
You too.
Absolutely. And me and you, we ain't going West End anytime soon, okay? Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? I'm sorry we lost you, caller. Producer, you checking? Okay, we're going to go to a break. We're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
The kids are going back to school.
So pick up your copy of the Nassar Guardian Back to School Supplement, because
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over. And our Back to School Supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season.
Advertisers, call the Nassar Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the 2-for-1 insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassar Guardian's back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
For fast most reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Hey Bahamas, ready for some eye-openers? Check out two brand new books by our legendary three-time PM, Hubert Ingraham. Get the tea on his amazing leadership and courage to buck the system. These books are for you, the game changers, movers and shakers, and anyone passionate about our nation's roots and future. Available now at Dungalik Studios, Logos Bookstore, the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and Chapter One Bookstore. Score your copies today. Celebrate our amazing legacy.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
The kids are going back to school.
So pick up your copy of the Nassau Guardians Back to School Supplement, because
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over. And our Back to School Supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season.
Advertisers, call the Nassau Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the two insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassau Guardian's back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Hey, watch it. Ruby T, watch that bad Buddha boy. I know, why have you been on trip? I'm glad you're doing good. Watch it. TVS tell you that.
Let me tell you this story. I was hanging out with some friends. I had to be the barracuda. I didn't want the fun to end. Man, the fish was fry so dry. I never saw no flies. The sweetest fish in the sea. I've been buckling to my knee. I get hit. They put me on drip. Then I start to itch.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green on this Wednesday. This Man Down mashup. Guardian Radio AM on the clock session. I'm coming to you right now, caller. Don't go anywhere. I just want to start this segment by saying that we are in no way calling any Bahamian politician corrupt or suggesting that they engage in corrupt behavior, but we are certainly questioning their competency and understanding of the provisions, laws, and regulations that govern the spaces that they operate in and they are obligated to oversee. That's the conversation we're having this morning. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron.
Hi, morning. Aaron. Good, thank you.
Hey, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Help me to understand something, please.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have Johnson on a guy on the air, right? We have two politicians which is charged for the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And our honorable house. Why are they not on a guy on the air?
Would you say?
We have Johnson.
You know, I got that part. The last seven words.
We got Johnson on a guy on the air, right?
Yeah.
We have two politicians in the house,
uh-huh,
which is charged before the courts in an honorable house. Why are they not on guard here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Huh? And so
because,
they grow up.
Because we don't follow the Westminster system. That's one word. We follow the Westminster system, which is a bastardization of the Westminster system. Governments, successive politicians, cabinets, and administrations have decided that they are not obligated to follow the conventions of the Westminster system, which requires an individual to resign before they bring even the suggestion of ill repute to the House of Assembly.
So tell us, you know, a politician can do anything and just decide what they want to.
It appears that way, but we know that we are governed by rules and procedures. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Let's go to the next caller quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Aaron.
Yes.
And CA, I want you to go to YouTube
and Google Frontline Black Money. The Saudis, they invented corruption. They buy prime ministers whoever they wanted to. That's called Frontline Black Money. They made Tony Blair stop a whole investigation.
No, man.
They get close to the king. Let's Google Frontline on YouTube, Frontline Black Money. And you'll see even Nixon came up in the Bahamas. He got $50,000 from somebody here.
For marketing. Don't worry, that's above board. That's Ministry of Tourism. That's marketing.
But I'm saying, CA, on the documentary, Nixon got money from his friends in the Bahamas. Some beach or people persuasion.
Listen, I trying to tell you that we, like you, and you, then you can tell it to CA, like CA didn't hear you say it the first time. Cousin.
It's a real thing. I mean, it's a real thing we'll be dealing
cousin,
with.
Cousin, let me tell you something. You caused me, I had to hit the drop button just now. It was me. It was not the producer. It was me. See, here's what I'm saying, cousin. If, when it was revealed that we have a prime minister that has a confidential informant number from the United States of America.
11518, something like that.
C-11622.
Yeah, something like that.
Right? And there was no need for public discussion about it. I would have had the discussion at C-11622 Avenue and Frank Watson Boulevard. That's where I would have had it. But what I'm saying is, you think people worried about somebody giving Nixon $50,000 back in the day? I'm not saying we shouldn't watch the documentary and make a sound determination for ourselves to what extent we can regard what's in the documentary as true. We should all make that assessment for ourselves, right? But we may need a Truth and Reconciliation committee at this point in time. And I'm going to take that back. We're almost out of time, right, Nuri? I take that right back to the land reform proposals go out to consultation story. Obviously, everybody in this good country has been waiting for land reform. We get people with Crown land approvals in writing, in simple writing, right? They've been waiting for proper documentation so they could go to banks for over 20 years, right? I'm concerned with the implementation, the swift implementation of the National Investment Fund and talking about putting land assets in management funds to extract value from them, while ordinary Bahamians have been waiting for decades just for a word on whether they could move forward on their Crown land approval, right? This land reform process must have as a central and integral part of it, a space for resolution for long-term land issues, right? We need to re-examine whether we need to re-implement entirely or in parts the Immovable Properties Act, or whether we need to revisit it and take from it the best and create a new act. We need a land court where people could register the complaints that have been unaddressed over the decades and fears of people stealing their land. Because you could imagine 10 years ago, we were having a conversation about whether a prominent land owner had rights to the land that he assumed as his own. By him, I mean the company, because all people think a corporation is a place in. And then fast forward 10 to 15 years later, and now we're having a conversation about whether the government could build a hospital on that land, I'm just saying, and we've heard no actual public discourse about the resolution to the initial conflicts raised by members of the public. This conversation is not complete. I got to sit over the weekend and delve through the Bahamaslandreform.gov.bs website to determine if these spaces are there and not just a dead link to nowhere, but an actual space curated for actual movement. This is not sufficient. And I know that in the article we have the land adjudication bill, land registration bill, land of property bill, which would be a compendium of all the land-related laws, and a planning and subdivision bill. This is not sufficient. This cannot be the full compendium of bills that constitute the land reform process.
I'm more concerned with the family islanders and persons who have generation land. I think we need help, right? They need some kind of resolution or suggestions on how they can empower themselves on generational land, but which no one person owns.
Or can sell. Or to derive sell. A profit, right?
I'm kind of terrified that one person go and register a generation land and they own it. when the other family members get nothing.
Right, and then remember the matter. Producer, you play. Start playing the music. Remember the matter in Spanish Wells, in Commonage Land?
Yeah.
We need to have full conversations about this, because I would hate to think that a part of this legislation is about walking around, right? Walking around the existing provisions around Commonage Land. Now, the song I close in with, this is Bahamian Trey. It's called Way Up. It's on the Red Shirt Rhythm. I thought we was going to talk a little bit about cannabis today. So I tell the producer, play the song.
No, play it. Let's hear it.
That's what it's about.
When that is what smells so nice, like a ticket but it won't take flight. Light it up in the broad daylight, light it up, make it feel so nice, huh?
Way up, way up, way up, way up.
That's my friend, she don't wanna leave me.
You've been on the clock with Aaron Green, the second half of the show today. Guardian Radio AM will take the helm on our Man Down mashup session, where we interrogate what's in the news. We got to keep talking, Bahamas. See you on the other side of the break.
Like a ticket, but it won't take flight. Light it up in the broad daylight. Light it up, make it feel so nice, huh?
Way up, way up, way up, way up.
Mary Jean just misunderstood. Talk with the bad, but what about the good? She tell me but this one man she was healing. And now she wanna give life more meaning. She's the doctor, he's the patient. Easy temper and frustration. She's your compass in the ocean. One direction, keep your focus. Who that is what smells so nice? Who that is what smells so good?